Welcome to Baby in Berlin, the podcast for international families in Germany, where we share information and resources about pregnancy, birth, and the early family years. My name is Elodie. I'm a mother of two and a maternity concierge and postpartum doula living in Berlin. My role is to accompany parents on the adventure of having a baby in Germany. I mostly do this through my online course available on babyinberlin.com. I was born in France and I got pregnant shortly after moving to Germany. I came to experience firsthand what it's like to give birth in a foreign country, not knowing what to do and when, and not even speaking the language. I've created this podcast to share my knowledge of the pregnancy and birth system in Germany. I hope you'll enjoy it. Welcome. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Baby in Berlin podcast. With me today, I have André Silva from the company Xbath joining me to talk about how to learn German in Germany as an expat. So, André, welcome.
Hi. Hi, Elodie. So nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Well, thanks for accepting the invitation. I'm really glad we're getting to talk about this, because a number of the people who are listening to this podcast either live in Germany or are thinking mm-hmm. about moving to Germany. And one of the challenges or one of the issues is the language. You know, I hear over and over again from my clients, and I mean, it's not a bad thing because I get to help them, but it's, you know, we don't speak German, I don't speak German either, because they've just arrived. But also, in a lot of cases, people have been in Germany here for a number of years and still don't speak the language. So I really wanted to have you on the podcast and help those people with maybe tips, but also probably mostly with hope that it's not, you know, a fatality and that you can indeed learn German.
I will try my best to give that hope. It's funny you say that, because it's something that I used to do very often in class. So I'm not teaching students anymore. I'm training the trainers, but I spend a lot of years in the classroom. And one thing that I made very clear and actually requested my students is to not throw in the towel. Also, bitte nicht aufgeben, don't quit. Because I think people have very mixed expectations when they start learning a language, or I think when they start any new project, they have different expectations. Oh, I imagine this to be different. So yes, it's very important to have that mindset of not, okay, don't quit. Yeah, it is hard. But then again, I think any language is hard to learn. It all
as an adult.
On the motivation. Yes, as an adult, of course. Yes, as an adult, especially if yeah. you have kids, and then the time is even less. But still, any language is difficult. I think when you are an adult that just moved to Germany, then you add the pressure to the fact that you're in German and you will need to communicate with people and so on and so forth, which makes the experience maybe less pleasant, right? So I think that's very important to have in mind. You need to always see the silver linings of actually why you're learning a language. Yeah, and in this case, why you're learning German.
Yeah. So tell us about your story. So you mentioned you are a teacher right now, but mm-hmm. you, like, German is not your native language. So you actually went from learning, like, not speaking German to now teaching German teachers how to teach German to expats. How long did that process take? Or, how did it come about?
It's quite ironic, isn't it? But I regret to inform everyone, German has been the longest relationship I've had in my life, a bumpy one. Of course, again, I need to underline the fact it takes time. Some people are more capable to learn a language faster than others. But for me, it's been a while. I started learning this at school back when I was, how old was I? 14. Because my school,
okay,
by coincidence, offered German. It's not normal in Portugal. So I was born in Lisbon and grew up across the river from Lisbon in a city called Almada. And my high school offered German from 10th grade. And I decided, I'm going to take German because German will give me better jobs in the future. I was already thinking about jobs. Mm-hmm. and I mean, I started with German, but I really cannot say that I learned much because the course book was hideous. It's very thick and full of text. And we would meet twice a week for, I don't know, an hour or 2 hours in total, and we would speak mm-hmm. mostly in Portuguese and then look at the stuff in German. So I really don't have any memories from those classes, except just we were there in the class and I remember the teacher, but that was it. And then, of course, because I chose German, I ended up also going to college and to university to continue study German and English. So my degree is in German and English. English has never been a problem because Portugal doesn't dub anything. So everything comes in English with subtitles, which was the best teacher ever. So the contact with English is just there. German is, of course, a bit different. But yeah, I went on to college and I was shocked when I had my first German class in university, completely in German from a native German speaker. yeah, I was very shocked. I was not expecting that.
From Bavaria or something.
It doesn't matter where yeah. from. It was just a native German speaker speaking German the whole time, which to me didn't make any sense because I came from like a high school, which is like this couple of hours every week. And it's like, yes, I can say it's Portuguese. Okay, let's talk about this rule and maybe learn this one word or the other. And then you get there and boom. So I might have gotten like the shock that people get when they arrive here after doing, let's say you plan to come to Germany and you do a mini course online and then you come here and it's like, what are these people talking? What is this language? Yes, I had a very rough couple of, my first 3 years in college were rough, rough in the sense I don't know what I was doing. I was disappointed. Pardon my French, but I really sucked at German. I couldn't start anything. And also had like some bad experiences with some teachers that, I don't know, kind of lacked a bit of didactics and compassion, let's say. So it was a bumpy road in the beginning. But then on the third or fourth semester, I had a chance. Somehow I managed to get a place in Erasmus. I don't know if you're familiar with Erasmus. It's an exchange program here in the European Union. Yeah. So I managed to get a place here at the Humboldt. And then I came to Berlin, to Germany, for the very first time with some sort of knowledge about the German language and only thinking, okay, Berlin is Reichstag, is the wall. And that's all I know. Yes, I had the shock when I arrived. I was like, oh my God, what were they speaking? But one thing very interesting, even if I was not actively speaking back in class back then. So we were talking about like 5 years before I came to Germany for the first time, 5 years of learning. Let's say, did I learn? I don't know. Being in the German class in a very bumpy way and in a very irregular way. So this was 5 years. So after high school and the two first years in college, I finally came to Germany, and Berlin was speaking German only back then. Still, this was 2004. But there I am. I came here with this previous experience with the classroom German. Is like, what? And interestingly enough, I actually had knowledge. I had gathered knowledge, even if it was not so active or I couldn't like speak properly, like make like sentences. There was some stuff in there. And then I think it took me the first 3 months or 4 months in Berlin to actually put all this knowledge into the proper shelving. So basically, I had been learning without proper context all the time. You know, things were just like being shot at me. Let's read this mini, this short story and get the vocab. Let's do this test and fill in the blanks, which is basically these types of exercises. And then I needed the time once in Berlin to kind of, okay, this bit of knowledge goes here and use it in this situation. Ah, yes. And this sentence goes like this and this and this. So it also took me time to kind of connect the dots. So the knowledge was there, and I just needed to be confronted with the language to actually start putting things into their places. And I think this is also something that people have to bear in mind. One thing that you learn in a course that's not in Germany, it's different than what you kind of get to experience here in real life. I think this sounds like a cliche, but it's reality, right? But I also have to say that nowadays teaching methodologies in a language, a foreign language classroom, they are very context oriented. So they're very communicative. They give all these types of context and examples. There's also what we teach in our training. Everything needs a context so that people can actually kind of come to this process of putting things into their shelves, you know, into their drawers, like I call them. And this is what's happening in language teaching at the moment. And if you're at the moment doing a class that's not like this, then you should stop doing it and find something else, because it's not very, very helpful. So yes, after okay. this Erasmus, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So should people then, you think, start learning German before they come to Germany? Like, should they kickstart, you know, class before? Or would you say, well, actually, it's, you know, you will learn best and fastest if you do the class once you're here, because you are then, like you said, confronted with the language?
It's a very good question. And of course, I had the advantage of having it in school, young age, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think, because for you to kind of act in a foreign country in any way, or having to face, okay, I have to talk to this person here at the counter, you need confidence. And I think starting back home with a online course, it's a great way to build your trust in yourself and the belief that you're going to get this, but also price in the fact that you're going to get shocked and thrown away, like, oh my God, what? I didn't understand anything. This is nothing what I've learned. It's part of the process, but I think it's really important to start training your brain to get used to the language, how it sounds, the basic rules, and the mini dialogues of wie geht's, mir geht's gut, danke, and tschüss. These very simple things. I think it makes a lot of sense to start beforehand to get warmed up to the whole thing. Okay, I'm going to start learning this language. Okay, this is how it's going to go. Oh my God, this is difficult, but I'm starting. I'm going to believe in myself, and I'm going to believe that I'm learning this for the right motive. So yes, I would definitely, if possible, start with online classes, but being also ready to be shocked and disappointed in the beginning when you arrive here and everything is in German suddenly and everybody speaks to you very fast and it's not a classroom. There will always be this kind of language shock, right? So yes, I definitely would do a course beforehand.
And so once you're in Germany, or once people are in Germany, would you recommend that they then learn German by, you know, will they learn German just by being in Germany, or are you laughing already? Will it come intuitively because you're in the country, or because you work, you know, you have colleagues, or would you still say, no, you need a course? And if you need a course, would you recommend people to do it, you know, as an intensive thing? So take like 3 weeks out of their year and like just do an intensive course? Or is it better to, like, you know, trickle down, maybe, you know, have once every couple of days, you know, a reminder and a refresher and maybe learning more stuff? So, what do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I would say, definitely say, just start off with a very intensive course. And the ideal situation is that you come to Germany, but I'm aware that this is not the typical situation. People come usually with the family, with the partner, and have kids, or it's not both of the partners that have this time to do an intensive class, or because they have kids and there's other priorities. But let's say, ideally, you get here and you enroll in a intensive class at the Volkshochschule, so the community college here in Germany, and you really just get in there. It's like being in Germany, but within a very safe space, a very same, like, language learning framework, you know, because it's done for people learning the language. It's not like you're not expected to, like, say things straight away or with a certain speed and with a certain accent. But it is intense because the ones at the Volkshochschule, for example, I think they go for 5 hours every day, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. And I've heard from people, really, I've talked to some students and friends, and in the beginning I had time, so I just went for the Volkshochschule and did everything from A1 to B1, because that intensity will help you a lot, because then if you can focus only on that.
It's 5 hours a day for how long?
I don't know exactly, but it's for quite a bit of time. I think the A1 one goes for 3 or 4 weeks. For example, I think it's 4 hours, but 4 hours at least, Elodie. It's very intensive, yeah. But it goes for 4 weeks per level, I would say. So A1 one and then A1 two, and let's say in 6 months, I think you can get to, you can finish the B1, which is usually the level that gives you the B1 certificate. I mean, for some visa purposes, this is relevant. But I think in 6 months, very intense. But then again, it's very intensive. You need time for this, right? And unfortunately, not everybody has this chance. But yes, I would start with this if possible.
And if that's not possible, what can one do?
Yeah, of course. If that's not possible, then I would prioritize in-person classes. For sure. And twice a week at least, really, nothing less than that. Twice a week, it's already little, let's say, but it's better than nothing. And people have to realize it's not only the twice a week class. Ideally, then you spend some time doing homework and kind of just try to work on your own. Some worksheets from the internet or resources that you get from the teacher. I think it's super important to always go to your teacher. If you have the time and the motivation, go to the teacher and ask for extra resources. Do you have like a worksheet or a table I can look at, or some text I could read and practice my pronunciation, whatever it is. It's important also to take advantage of having this person that knows the language instead to help you. So yes, if the super intensive at the Volkshochschule, for example, is not possible, then go for in-person classes that are twice a week. We offer twice a week classes. Other schools offer more regularly. So yes, it always depends on your availability, but the more the merrier. But if that's not possible, like I said, twice a week. And if in-person it's not possible, then online. Yeah, and online also twice a week.
Okay, and does XPath also do the sort of, you know, the language school you work for? Do you also offer like from really like beginners from A11 up to B1, or do you really just do this kind of regular once you've got the B1 level, improving your German so that you get to conversational level?
XPath does mostly beginner classes. So the most popular classes are all the A level, so A1 and A2, and we offer anything until C, so the very advanced level. But that's not, there's a handful of classes at this level, because by then people are comfortable enough, don't think they need, I think they kind of continue learning in the streets, let's say, and do not take classes. So yes, we have a lot of A-levels, all of beginners. So if we kind of specialize in teaching beginners, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So people can go to the Volkshochschule, so there's community college. They can also go through you, through XPath. Mm-hmm. To have those beginner classes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And so would you, and so you don't think that was my other question, which maybe you avoided, I don't know. So you don't think it's really possible to just learn German by being in Germany? Or is it going to take a long time?
Honestly, yeah. You're not really, we are learning, but very, very passively. And as a basic principle, when you learn something, you're learning through trial and error. The bike, you get on the bike, you fall, you think, why did I fall? Okay, let's try this different. And then you go and repeat over and over again because you're doing this. And I mean, very gifted people might. They have, you know, this amazing year and they hear a melody and play this in the piano and they hear a language and then boom, they kind of can speak it. It is possible for very gifted people. And let's say for normal people, common people, I think it's very important to really put the things you hear into practice, or again, being able to understand where to put these things that you hear. Like, oh, why did this person use this word? Is he trying to say this or trying to say that? Because it's going to be a bit of guessing work, right? So if you're just like listening, that's what I'm assuming. I think it's very important to do a class, and for me, it would be super, super difficult to just learn it by ear. I think it's very hard. I definitely recommend a class.
I think that's the sometimes maybe the common misconception or mistake that I hear, at least from a lot of my clients, is that I'm going to be in the country, I'm going to be immersed, so in a German or in a German company, maybe not a German company, but at least, you know, in Germany with colleagues, most of them are going to be German, etc. But it is very easy to be, you know, to get a job as an expat in, especially in Berlin, and a lot of the larger sort of internet companies that, you know, have a lot of expats themselves. And actually, you end up just speaking English all day. There is a huge English speaking community. So, and you can very easily just get by, you know, not speaking to the cashier at the store. You can, you know, get an English-speaking doctor, English-speaking, mostly everything, which is a great thing. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, people should not get, you know, doctors and everything that they feel comfortable with, but definitely, you know, it can sometimes be so easy to get by in English that people forget, you know, that, you know, there might be some advantages of speaking German. I mean, I remember when I came to Germany, it was in 2007. So that was a long time ago. And there were no internet companies. And there were, I mean, if you didn't speak German, you wouldn't get a job. The international community was a lot more reduced back then. And you just had to learn German. You just had to. And I did have some classes in school, so that helped a lot. And I didn't, you know, I did some in-person classes, actually. I just remember now. Anyway, it is easy to get by, but there might be some stuff that you're missing out on. And that's kind of also what I wanted to talk about, because sometimes people think, oh, it's, you know, I know I have to, I should, but... what would you say? I've got a few of my favorites, but what would you say are the things that people might be missing out on when they're not speaking German?
Well, I was thinking about this, and for me now, it would be, because I have kids, and I think most of your listeners also have kids or babies are on the way. It's about the communication you have with the Kita, so the kindergarten, the teachers, or even the friends that your child makes in the Kita, right? Because these children do not speak English unless they come from a multi-language family, which also happens, of course. And this is something I'm realizing now, that how important it is. I'm glad I can communicate with friends of my daughter, and also with the teachers, and go to the parents' meeting. And I think also nowadays things changed a bit. Also, when you came to Berlin or to Germany, and when I came to Berlin, you're totally right. There was not these international companies. That was not this international audience. You just had to do it, and it was a big advantage and a big plus for us, right? But nowadays, you can't even find English-speaking Kitas, of course, and English-speaking teachers, which not necessarily need to be in a international Kita. But I think this is an aspect that I think it's very relevant, and something that you definitely miss out if you've been here for a while and then your child starts speaking German and speaks German at the Kita and has her friends there, and the friends come over and you want to understand what the friends are saying or what's happening. I mean, you kind of probably manage to understand with some bit of theater and gestures and whatnot, but this is something that would be missing. And then, of course, if I, coming from a literature background, although I don't remember much of my literature classes and seminars back at college, it's German language is very impressive in how flexible and how amazing it can work with words. It's very unique, you know. I really enjoy my native language, Portuguese, and especially all the words and play on words that Brazilian music does and then Portuguese music does. But the mechanics of the German language put into a text, a novel, they're very impressive. And of course, this is like the ultimate level of knowing a language, where you manage to read novels in German, for example. But it's I always get very impressed how smart the language works. And of course, this is something you'd be missing out also if you don't know the language.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I mean, what about you?
Well, for me, I find the lyrics of some German songs very powerful. You know, I think it's very difficult to make German rhyme, like German words rhyme. It's not as easy as English somehow, or even French. But when it does, sometimes I get goosebumps, you know. It's like crazy, like really well-written German songs. Yeah. I like them. Yeah. I'm not talking about Schlager. Like Schlager is like cheesy music from Germany. But anyway, and I really like Tatort. So Tatort is like a German tradition, right? It's like a crime series that gets aired every Sunday evening, and in some bars you can even go and watch Tatort with other people. And of course, it's not dubbed or subtitled. Like, you will never, I don't think it, you will ever find a dubbed Tatort. Tatort means crime scene. And I just really like that, because I think, you know, in my early days, I got a lot of indirect cultural information through Tatort, also because it's from different cities in Germany. You get like the different vibes, you know, Berlin, Hamburg, Munich. It's different. So I think, you know, I would miss that, and of course the communication with other children, because like you said, you know, at some point, you know, your child will be speaking German. There is no question about that. And they will bring home people who speak German. And you kind of have to communicate with them, set rules, explain them what the, you know, what the program is for the day and stuff. And it's just really difficult when you don't speak German. Or even just at the playground, you know, to say, Can you please have our shovel back? If you can't say that, you're screwed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it depends highly on the neighborhood you are. But you also mentioned this in the so regarding your question, can I learn just by hearing or listening? So people that are on the countryside have, let's say, the advantage we had back then because no one speaks English there. And in here in Hamburg, Munich, Berlin, international cities, you'll be able to speak English to people most of the times. But I think it's also important not to always assume that people speak English. You know, maybe because if you stopped learning, then you always assume everybody speaks English when that's not always the case. But then again, let me just like underline this. Yes, take advantage. If you're like on the countryside, take advantage of that and also attend a class and make your experience on the countryside even better. And also here in Berlin, you can go to a German class here in Berlin and ask, I want to learn how to communicate at the Spielplatz, at the playground, or at the Kita. And learn what you actually need most or try to focus on that. If you don't have time or if you've tried several times and then it's not working, I think it's also important to have this in mind. See what's relevant and important for you to speak in the language and take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. No, because I mean the struggle can be real, right? If your child has been waiting to get on the swing for half an hour and you can't say to the child who's swinging, can you please step down so we can have a go? Yeah. Then you'll know what we mean. Great. Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Andre. I hope that the listeners will have got loads of tips and information and motivation as well. Like, I really wanted this to be a motivational episode to get people to learn German and just have fun with it as well. So thanks very much. And I will link to the Expat School and the various things that we talked about in the show notes. And for everyone else, speak to you next time. Thanks, Andre.
Thank you, Elodie, for having me. It was a pleasure. Bye-bye, everyone.
For more information about my services and courses, go to babyinberlin.com. Sound and music by David Nichols. Thank you all for listening. See you on the next episode.